Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Wednesday's Hero. Today's hero is Dwayne Dewey, Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps. Name of the story is Body of Steel. When 19-year-old Dwayne Dewey joined the Marines soon after North Korean forces rolled into the South, it was an indefinite enlistment. That means the duration of the war plus 6 months. Dewey was part of the 1st Marine Division, which was near Panmunjom in the spring of 1952. The command had established a series of outposts beyond the main American force. This is the most forward position. Corporal Dewey was the leader of a machine gun squad in a reinforced platoon dug in on one of these positions when it was attacked by a battalion-sized Chinese force around midnight on April 16th. The American outpost was quickly overrun. Carrying their machine guns, Dewey and his men fell back. Now, out of their foxholes and fighting on exposed ground, they tried to stabilize their position. Dewey worked his gun, firing so much that he feared that the barrel might melt. And the bodies of the Chinese soldiers piled up on one another like ricks of wood in front of him. Seeing that he only had 3 cans of ammunition left, he ran to another machine gun for more. As he was returning, a grenade exploded at his feet, knocking him down. Bleeding heavily from his thigh and groin, he laid on the ground, bleeding, when a medic appeared, and as he knelt over Dewey to remove his blood-soaked pants, another grenade hit the ground beside them. Dewey grabbed it for a second and considered throwing it back, but he decided he didn't have the time or strength, so he tucked it underneath him, pulling the medic down with his other hand, yelling, "Hit the dirt, Doc!" Lifting Dewey several inches off the ground and tearing through his hip. The medic was unharmed. Dewey was taken back to the aid station for an hour. He lay outside waiting for treatment. Wow. Not sure that he'd make it. Then he was given a shot of morphine and taken to a trench where the other wounded Americans were. He spent the rest of the night wondering which side would win the battle raging outside. Unreal. Shortly after dawn, when American troops relieved his company, he was evacuated. Doctors treating him in the field hospital found that in addition to the gaping shrapnel wounds throughout his lower body, part of his body, he was also taking a bullet in the stomach. He was hospitalized in Japan for a month, then flown to the States, where he would spend the next 3 months convalescing. On the way home, the plane stopped over briefly in Hawaii, where an officer visited him in the hospital and presented him with the Purple Heart. When Dewey casually mentioned that he had heard his captain was going to recommend him for the Medal of Honor, the officer shot back a look that made him resolve that he would never mention it again. Dewey was back at home in South Haven, Michigan, when he received a telegram informing him that he had been indeed awarded the Medal of Honor. On March 12, 1953... President Dwight Eisenhower presented it to him in the White House. Quote, "You must have a body of steel," the president said to him after reviewing his citation. Dewey and his wife returned home after a week in Washington to a great surprise. To honor him, the townspeople had built a 3-bedroom prefab house for them, completely furnished with fully stocked cupboards and refrigerator. Dwayne Dewey, born November 16, 1931 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where, in fact, him and his family still live. Dwayne Dewey, Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps. Name of the story is Body of Steel.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So glad it was a Chinese grenade.
Yeah, well, but it didn't feel good.
No.
He has so many injuries, he doesn't know he's been shot in the stomach.
Wow.
The fact that, look, when you jump on a grenade, you are giving your life. You're assuming that's it.
That's it.
You know, so, and then the fact that the medic was unhurt, so he did such a good job of, it's unbelievable.
Just
the description, sorry, the description of the Chinese piling up in front of him. So they're just coming, and he's firing, and they're falling in front of him.
To the point.
And stacking.
To the point he's scared that the barrel of his gun went
out. Wow. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
wow.
So then he gets back home. This is what I love, too, because communities do what they can for these folks. He goes to get his Medal of Honor. He gets back. They built him a house and stocked it for him when he got back. Isn't that pretty cool?
That's absolutely amazing. And,
yeah.
And one last thing that I'm going to inject is when he signed up, it was for the duration of the war
plus six months.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you're there and they put you in, okay, here's where our forward positions are. You guys are going to be way above where we are.
Unbelievable.
And what the common theme in a lot of these stories is they want to do this and they want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah, you're, right.
You're
right.
Your production on these projects are just absolutely amazing.
I love doing
too.
Them. Wow. I love finding these guys out.
Well, Dave did different things that were stuck in different orifices a couple of weeks ago. I don't have.
Yeah, we had backside, front side, ears, nose, and throat.
That's quite a transition, Dwight.
Yes.
Thank you. I've given up on segues.
Have you?
Yeah, from this.
We found a phone in his butt. What a hero.
From this point forward, I'm just going to. Next story. Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So TSA has the most unusual confiscated items from last year, 2021.
Ooh, okay. All right. How many? We're not talking about guns or anything like that. These are unusual stuff. Okay.
Are we?
Oh.
Well, bullets, let's go start at the bottom of the list. Bullets in deodorant. That was found in Atlantic City.
Bullets in deodorant?
In deodorant. They hit it in the deodorant.
Okay.
That was in Atlantic City. In Newark, they found an antique pistol.
They found a weapon in Newark?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
In Houston, a meth burrito. That's messed up.
Yeah. Did Kim Jong-un invent that?
Yes, he did.
What is a meth burrito?
I guess they stuffed a burrito with methamphetamine to get it through customs.
How desperate do you have to do meth? Seriously.
I'm scared.
Right. There's no heroin available?
I'm scared to death just to take gummies into Mexico, let alone meth in a burrito.
It's Ajax.
You take gummies.
You're sniffing Ajax.
You take gummies into Mexico?
I absolutely do not.
Hell no.
No. The only thing I do is I have my wife keister a couple of fifths of Jack Daniels because I prefer that whiskey to others.
Well, she enjoys it.
Yeah, she does. Easily done. Put it next to the beach ball. A gun belt buckle was found in Honolulu. So that's second gun.
A gun belt buckle. Oh, like the one in Dust Till Dawn?
Like any ever
seen that?
It's got like one bullet or something.
The vampires come out and
not that one.
Oh, not that one.
That looks like a keen eye.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, then a meat cleaver was found in Harrisburg.
Who's traveling with a meat cleaver?
Well, maybe he's a chef.
That's a good point. Let's see.
I'm a butcher.
Got my toothbrush. Got my
let him go. He's a butcher.
Got my CPAP. Got my meat cleaver.
yes.
I didn't even know Destin Fort Walton had a. Airport.
It's little.
We've always drove.
I think Allegiant flies there.
A flight's cheap there?
I actually flew in there to go to Tallahassee once.
Ah.
Allegiant, that we flew that one time, and it's like, oh, your ticket's only $53. And then they start saying, would you require a seat?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, that's an extra $75. Now, are you going to want to breathe oxygen in the plane? Okay, that's an extra $35.
It's now, $35 for 30 minutes.
Now, does your wife have a pulse? Yes, she has a pulse. Okay, that's an extra $75. Okay, so bear spray was found in Destin Fort Walton Beach Airport.
Yes, yeah, so a lot of bears wandering the beaches of Destin.
I know.
A lot of hairy backs.
Well, a lot of hairy backs, yeah. Washington, D.C., a machete was found. Syracuse, they found fireworks. Sacramento, they found a wine holder shaped like a gun. Now, if they took that, I think that's kind of ridiculous. If it's just a wine holder and not a gun.
Yeah,
that is dumb.
It's
California.
That explains it. And then finally, who wins the most odd things found confiscated in airports? The TSA says New Orleans had a chainsaw.
Oh, that.
Confiscated.
Well,
so,
I mean, some people, you know.
At least that didn't make it into my stories from last week.
Right. But you could check all these things, right? In the baggage?
Why is a chainsaw dangerous? I mean, it takes so long to get started.
That's what, every chainsaw I've had is 20 minutes of this.
Now, they also say it is when you have the crazy guy trying to open the door in mid-flight.
Yeah.
They say it's impossible.
Because of the wind speed?
It's pressurized.
It's pressurized, so you can't open it. 10 people couldn't open that door.
Well, I would think that also, if you're trying to open it, and the plane's going, what? I don't know where the plane goes, 200 miles an hour?
No, 500 and something.
500 yeah. something?
Yeah.
Just the pressure from that, you know what I'm saying? The wind speed.
Can't do it, but don't try.
Don't try.
It's so much fun flying today, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
no. Oh, here's something, guys. I found a self-aware bridezilla.
Oh, okay.
Someone
as long as she realizes it.
Someone who's wondering, am I indeed a bridezilla asking this?
If you're asking.
Yes, you are.
Well, here's Michelle writing on Facebook.
Hi, Michelle.
While I do not consider myself a bridezilla, my family seems to disagree, and I don't know what to do. I'm getting married next month after postponing my wedding last year. My sister is the maid of honor, and out of nowhere, she mentioned that she's thinking of shaving her head.
Well, that's a good look.
There's no reason for it. She's just in the mood for something different.
Oh, no.
I simply asked her if she could possibly hold off doing that until after the wedding, and she flipped out on me and got Mom on her side. I didn't demand that she not cut it and didn't threaten to throw her out of the wedding party. I just asked her nicely to hold off a few weeks.
Yeah.
Is what I did so wrong? Am I being a bridezilla?
How long was she being asked to wait?
Couple of weeks.
No, you're not an a-hole.
No.
Sinead O'Connor will be there in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, her son just died.
I know.
Sinead
O'Connor. Yeah, 17 years old. He killed himself, I believe.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, he looked exactly like her when she did that video of whatever.
Yeah.
The one that's a close-up. He looks exactly like her.
Another Prince song.
Yeah.
That was done by someone else that was a hit.
I'm not a therapist.
Wait, what? Yeah. Then what the hell did I do that yesterday afternoon on your couch? Give me my 50 bucks.
No, it's already spent. I already spent it.
Damn it.
So here's the deal. She's thinking about shaving her head at her sister's wedding. Why? It's not on a whim. Because she's upset she's getting married and she's not.
And I'm going to make your wedding pictures look goofy. By the way, nobody's going to look at your wedding pictures ever. But this is a cry for attention from the sister.
Yes, because she's not getting married and you are. This is simple stuff.
Hey, Tony.
And you're not going to meet anybody being bald.
Yeah.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
When you were in high school, did you ever do any movies or want to do a movie?
What do you mean?
Maybe in high school, do a high school movie?
Yeah, I did a movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
Adrian says, ask Tony what movie that he did in high school.
Oh, yeah, I got a B-plus for it.
What?
I had a buddy of mine who was on the project with him at Trinity.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, it was a superhero movie called, I can't say that.
Super WAP.
Wonder WAP.
No, yeah, it was Super WAP or Wonder WAP.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Wonder WAP.
Wonder WAP.
That was an Oasis song.
It was a superhero movie called Wonder WAP, starring Tony Vannetti.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Pot was involved in the script writing.
Okay, so
Where can we screen this?
We were the first class at Trinity High School to use a video editor. Up until that point, they handed us those 8mm with the little thing you pull the trigger and like a little 8mm, like it's 1962. Well, one of our buddies had one of those gigantic, like, VCRs. He had, like, a VCR around his strap. And then it was connected to the camera.
Like the Goldberg kid.
It was, right.
Right.
It was huge.
Adam Goldberg.
So the storyline was I was cooking, like, a burrito or something in the microwave, and the microwave malfunctioned.
Oh,
and
no.
The radiation radiated me, and I became Super WAP.
We got to see this movie.
And I had...
You were doing a burrito, not spaghetti?
And one of the guys in the movie's sister swam for Sacred Heart, and she had a swimming cap that had an American flag on the side. We took that. I took a pair of red, really tight long johns, and those were my pants.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
And then I had a gigantic beach towel as my cape, and then I took masking tape and I put a W on my chest, and I was Super WAP or Wonder WAP.
We got to.
And then I saved the damsel. Whatever.
Damsel distress.
What were your superpowers?
I don't know one of them. That's not a rope.
That's
hand to God. Okay.
It was bedding down swimmers.
This is the truth. This is the truth. The movie ends with me making out with the damsel in distress.
I told you.
In the back of the car.
So it was all a ploy just to make out with a girl.
Whatever. I got a B plus.
I got to see this movie.
So this is how, the story here. It's due on Monday. On Sunday, we don't have it edited. And we're like, oh, wait. We don't have that. It's due tomorrow. That's right. So we went to the school. We went to the priest's house. This is the 1980s. They wouldn't do this today. We knock on the priest's house and said, Father Domhoff, we need to edit the movie. It was his class.
Oh my gosh.
He gave us the key to the school and said, lock up when you're finished. We didn't get finished till like midnight or whatever. We're running around the school. We're eating food out of the lunchbox.
So why not an A?
That's a good question.
No full frontal nudity.
That's a good question.
But, who do we have?
Thank you, Father Domhoff, for letting us in the school.
Tony's going to talk about roofs and stuff.
Oh, Christian Brothers, baby.
Christian Brothers Roofing, my friend. If you need repairs or you just need, you just got to get a whole new roof, man, they'll take care of you. Give them a call or go to ChristianBrothersRoofing.com. They will take care of you. Free estimates, that's for sure. They also do a commercial. They do your residential. They'll have gutters and siding. But remember the story I told yesterday. The job's not done until you say it's done. So you're basically the foreman on it. So the guy that's in charge of it, it's not just a crew that comes over and puts a roof on. There's a foreman there, the guy that's the manager that handles all of this for you. And then at the end, if it's not clean, if it's not done right, then you say, no, it's not. And they will stay until it's done. You tell the manager, the foreman, that the job is done. That's how it works with Christian Brothers Roofing. 244-0208. Give them a call to get a free estimate, put them in a rotation, and find out if you want to get a new roof or a repair.
Going to social media already, Joey Strader says, is Tony's movie streaming on Netflix? No, but it might be on Netflix.
I pray that movie is not out somewhere.
We got to find it.
Please
and open it up. Host it with the listeners. Hey, at the bottom of the hour after news, we're going to talk to a long time, 50 years, Elton John's guitarist, Davey Johnstone. So hang out.
Back after this, News Radio 840 WHS. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had it out.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WHAS.
This is me on piano.
No, it's not,
no, it's
Dr.
Not
Fauci.
All right, News Radio 840 WHAS. We are on the way. We're waiting for Davey Johnston to call the show. And he's been with Elton John for 50 years as
the band
leader and lead guitarist. Looking forward to talk to him. He's got a new album out. We'll talk about that as well. As well as when is the tour going to resume? Because you remember the goodbye Yellow Brick Road. This was the, that's it, goodbye.
The farewell Yellow Brick Road tour, I believe. Yes.
Right, so this was it, and then here we get halted for, what, 2 years now?
Mm-hmm.
You were lucky enough to see it, though, right?
No, I have not seen this one. Saw him years ago with Billy Joel.
But it already came here to Louisville, right?
I don't know that it did.
Yeah, it did.
It did, and then they were coming back again or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is this like the Kiss farewell tour?
Yeah.
No, that's true.
No, it's a two-year farewell tour.
It's a two-year. It's two-year.
Yeah, but you're hitting markets multiple times. But I guess, if it comes back to Louisville, I will go see it.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, have to.
Yeah. Did you see where the United States man, with terminal heart disease was implanted with a genetically modified pig heart?
No.
And it's the first of its kinds of a surgery. Within 3 days later, he's doing really well. Of course, he is.
Wow.
So many.
I know. And you snorted like you had a pig heart.
I had so many directions I can go in there. I was like, well, I've been called this so many times in my life. Now it just matches because I have a pig heart. He's now getting urges to, you know, roll in the mud.
And they asked him how he's feeling. They said, oh, I'm feeling swine.
Looks like we have our guy.
I think we may have him. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like it. I don't know. Dave's got a confused. Dave's pushing the buttons. He's on the phone.
He's pushing the thing. Look by the producer.
He's like this.
But
he's hitting another song.
We hear the new song. And here's the new song. Here he is. Listen a little bit of this.
Do I have to go alone? This is Melting Snow from the new record.
New stuff right there, Davey Johnston. Hey, Davey, how are you, man?
I'm doing okay. How are you? Which one are you?
This is Dwight. This is Dwight talking to you right now. I want to ask you about...
Hi, Dwight.
I want to ask you about...
When our coordinator told me who the hosts were, I thought he said Vera, Chuck, and Dave. And I'm going like, okay, Beatles fans like me.
Hey, listen, we're anxious for you and the Elton John Band to get on the road, but I want to ask about this new album. I was listening to it yesterday, and from what I understand, your children are on this album. But I want to ask you about that song that we just heard coming in. Is that about death or breaking up? Because I felt like a sadness in it, a tremendous sadness within the lyrics. What is that song about, man?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about passing.
Okay.
It's about death. And hopefully I've said it in a tasteful way.
Yeah.
You know, we all are touched with tragedy. It's also kind of about leaving, about parting and the whole thing, because there's a sadness in that. And one of my favorite, old writers was Robert Burns, the famous Scots poet from my own homeland, you know. And he wrote a song called A Fond Kiss, which was about death, but it was also about parting and that sadness that comes with that. If you know you're never going to see somebody again and the heaviness involved with that. But yeah, it just seemed like, you know, I've had a chance to do this record and write about whatever I wanted to write. And so writing about death didn't seem to be that off the wall for me, you know, at my age. It was a cool thing to do.
Well, just so you know, it came through and it affected me. When I listened to that song, it got me immediately.
Thanks for saying that.
So what did your children do on this record, and how did they decide to get into music? It seems natural because dad is always around it, and maybe they just kind of fall into it. But did they try other things first? Are they doing other things, or are they full-time musicians?
No, they're all dyed-in-the-wool musicians, no question about it. Because, you know, I've always had instruments lying around the house. I mean, being a guitar player, I would have at least one guitar in every room, just, you know, that's just the way it's been around here. And I'd always pick up a guitar and just play and write for myself and all the rest of it. So they've always been you know, it's always been available to them if they wanted to play music or paint. I think it's important to encourage kids to do what they might feel that they would like to do without thinking, oh, my God, I'll never do that. I think I've been able to convince them that whatever their dreams are, they can do it if they you know, trust their talent and their faith and go with it.
Let's go back to the beginning, because in the beginning, it's still spectacular now, but let's talk about the writing team, Bernie Taupin, Elton John, you're the band leader. The song, The Bitch Is Back, that guitar riff, listen to guitar riff right here. Absolutely incredible. It grabs me every time I hear it. What comes first? Does the guitar riff come first and then Bernie Taupin and Elton John take over? Or do they come to you and say, we've composed this song, we need a guitar hook? How does that work?
Well, it works pretty much exactly like that, although the process is a little different. Usually, Bernie writes a bunch of lyrics, gives them to Elton, he'll come to the studio, and he'll start writing in the studio. And as soon as he comes up with an idea, then I'll be listening to it as he's composing it. I might suggest a chord here and there or a riff idea. And it comes up together very naturally. But for Bitch, he actually said to me, look, for this one, I really am hearing something kind of like a very staccato type thing. And I literally, that riff on Bitch's Back is something that I said, well, how about this? And played that. Because, you know, as I said, when you're listening to a song building up, you kind of go along with what might work. That's the way I work best anyway. I work very quickly. So that that riff came straight out of my hat, as did Saturday Night's Right for Fighting, same thing.
Absolutely incredible.
Very little piano on that song either, so it was all down to the guitars being the featured instrument on the track. So that's the way that we tend to work, really quickly.
It seems like it came out 10 years ago, but it was just 2019, Rocket Man, the movie. How close did they get it right? Was it weird watching your life in a movie?
Well, it was Elton's life. So, next question.
Oh, well, okay. It's the band. I just figured how close that was to being accurate. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry.
Okay, there. You mentioned a sadness in Melting Snow. Is there a sadness knowing you're doing a farewell Yellow Brick Road tour? I read back in 2019 where you did your 3,000th show with Elton John. That is 8.2 years of your life on stage with Elton John. Is there a sadness there?
Oh, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, the thing about the 3,000th show that was interesting was that a few of my good friends showed up. We were playing in Seattle, and my buddy Eddie Vedder came, and Jerry Cantrell, and Mike Inez. Some of these guys who I never would have thought would be that into Elton John music, but they're huge fans of ours. So Eddie was at that 3,000 show. And, yeah, to me, it's amazing that we've done so many shows together. And this tour, obviously, is a little emotional in many ways, because when we're on stage and we're getting near the end of the show, you can see fans down, you know, the first, you know, I normally see maybe the first five or six rows, and they're in tears. They're literally, you know, losing it. And that means a lot when you think about all the stuff that we've been able to bring to people, but it's very much a shared experience. Playing live to people and having them appreciate your records and stuff is really something very special. And as I say, it's a shared experience, so it is quite emotional.
Can you compare writing and producing this single to writing and producing Smiling Faces? What was more of a fun project for you?
My God, that's a 48-year...
I know. I know, but think about that. If you could think back, what did you have more fun on, you think?
Well, the thing about this album that's so great is that I was able to do exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I would just be writing around, writing, playing, you know, in my own house, and then having an idea and just having my son Charlie record that idea, and then get a hold of my other boy Elliot and have him sing a vocal on it. And after a couple of those, it was quite evident that we had something that was really special. So I've really, really enjoyed this process, because most of my kids are on it, and then my daughter, my favorite daughter, of course, she painted and designed the album artwork, which is insane. I think it's beautiful what she's done. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed this process. And it's funny because I'm normally a perfectionist. It's difficult. Even with an Elton album, I'll listen to it back after we've done it, and I'll think, well, that could have been better, and this could have been better. But for this album, I've enjoyed the fact that it's such a beautiful experience. I'm happy with the whole thing. I think it came out great, and I'm looking forward to people's reaction.
Well, I want to agree with you on that, and I agree on the album cover, Deeper Than My Roots. The painting is beautiful. It has pictures in it that I'm assuming are from your all's past. Listen, Davey Johnson, love Melting Snow. Can't wait to hear the rest of the album more, and we'll see you out on the road with Elton soon, I'm hoping. Okay?
Thank you, guys. And again, Vito Chuck is Dave. You're wonderful. See you.
See ya. There you go, man.
All right. Forever Lawn,
yes.
Forever Lawn, and Forever Lawn. That's exactly what it is. You're tired of cutting your grass. You're tired of watering your grass. You're trying to put fertilizer on it, and it still just doesn't look really good anyway. We'll stop doing all that and call Forever Lawn. Now, they do homes. They do businesses, which is great. Can you imagine owning your business? You put Forever Lawn in the front of your business, and then you don't have to deal with paying the landscaping guy every single year. That would be gone for you. Forever Lawn is 6 9 210-599-4647. This is advanced fake grass. That's the best way I can go, is it feels like grass. If you put your toes in it, if you put your hands in it, it feels like real grass. They have 9 different types to match whatever you like. You want it to look like a golf course? Done. You got dogs that need to go out in the yard and go to the bathroom? Done. They got it all covered for you. It's called canine grass, by the way. So I know a guy that put a putting green in his backyard. I know a guy that put a pitching mound and a little pitching, like a warm-up track there on the side of his house for his son. And you can do the same things. Forget about cutting your grass. Forget about watering it. The people in your neighborhood will hate you because your lawn's going to look so good every single day. Forever Lawn, 694-0647. That's 694-0647. Forever Lawn. Back after this. News Radio 840 WHAS.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.